Welcome to the Hackberry House of Chosun. My name is Bob, reading today from Leonard Ravenhill's book, Why Revival Tarries. For those who are in real time with me day to day, thank you for excusing me for the last few days to take care of some urgent moving business. We took care of it. We are in our new place now and eager to get back to the table here and talking to you. We're doing one of the most famous books that Leonard Ravenhill ever wrote, a book that is very dear to many people. And we're on chapter 4. It's called Where Are the Elijahs of God? To the question, where is the Lord God of Elijah? We answer, where he has always been, on the throne. But where are the Elijahs of God? We know Elijah was a man of like passions as we are, but alas, we are not men of like prayer as he was. One praying man stands as a majority with God. Today, God is bypassing men, not because they are too ignorant, but because they are too self-sufficient. Brethren, our abilities are our handicaps. Our talents are our stumbling blocks. Out of obscurity, Elijah came onto the Old Testament stage, a full-grown man. Queen Jezebel, that daughter of hell, had routed the priests of God and replaced them with groves to false deities. Darkness covered the land, and gross darkness the people. They were drinking iniquity like water. Every day the land, fouled with heathen temples and idolatrous rites, saw smoke curling from a thousand cruel altars. And all this was among a people who claimed Abraham as their father, and whose forebears had cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he had delivered them out of all their distresses. How the God of glory had departed the salt and lost its savor. The gold had become dim. But out of this measureless backsliding, God raised up a man, and not a committee, not a sect, not an angel, but a man, and a man of like passions as we are. God sought for a man, not to preach, but to stand in the gap. As Abraham, so now Elijah stood before the Lord. Therefore the blessed Holy Spirit could write the life of Elijah in two words. He prayed. No man can do more than that for God or for men. If the church today had as many agonizers as she had advisers, we'd have a revival in a year. Such praying men are always our national benefactors. Elijah was such. He had heard a voice, seen a vision, tasted a power, measured an enemy, and with God as partner wrought a victory. The tears he shed, the soul agonies he endured, the groans he uttered are all recorded in the book of the Chronicles of the Things of God. At last Elijah emerged to prophesy with divine infallibility. He knew the mind of God, and therefore he, one man, strangled a nation and altered the course of nature. This crag of a man stood as majestic and immovable as the mountains of Gilead, as he shut up the heavens with a word. By the key of faith which fits every lock, Elijah locked heaven, pocketed the key, and made Ahab tremble. Though it is wonderful indeed when God lays hold of a man, earth can know one greater wonder, and that's when a man lays hold of God. Let a man of God in the Spirit groan, and God will cry out, "Let me alone." We would like Elijah's accomplishments, but not his banishments. Brethren, if we will do God's work in God's way, at God's time, with God's power, we shall have God's blessing and the devil's curses. When God opens the windows of heaven to bless us, the devil will open the door of hell to blast us. God's smile means the devil's frown. Mere preachers may help anybody and hurt nobody, but prophets will stir everybody and madden somebody. The preacher may go with the crowd, the prophet goes against it. A man who's freed, fired, and filled with God will be branded unpatriotic because he speaks against his nation's sins. Unkind because his tongue is a two-edged sword. Unbalanced because the weight of preaching opinion is against him. The preacher will be heralded. The prophet hounded. Ah, brother preachers, we love the old saints, missionaries, martyrs, reformers. Our Luthers, Bunyans, Wesleys, Asburys. We will write their biographies, reverence their memories, frame their epitaphs, and build their cenotaphs. We will do anything except imitate them. We cherish the last drop of their blood, but we watch the first drop of our own. John the Baptist did well to evade prison for 6 months. He and Elijah would not last 6 weeks in the streets of a modern city. They'd be cast into a prison or a mental home for judging sin and not muting their message. Evangelists today are wide-eyed to the might of communism, but tight-lipped at the menace of Romanism. America would shake from coast to coast in 24 hours if some preacher anointed with the Holy Ghost gave the Roman Catholic Church a broadside. In England, we are worse. We stir national interest against the cruel, half-civilized Mau Mau, and they are wicked enough, but we powwow with and pander to the Roman Catholic Church. These priests who dope men's souls, these idolatrous masses, these Calvary-eclipsing prayers to Mary, these miserable millions cheated in life and in death by the greatest forgery Lucifer ever made, all these do not seem to stir us to tearful intercessions and godly jealousy, as identical circumstances stirred Elijah. The enemy has come in like a flood. Is there no spirit-filled messenger today, armed with all the panoply of God, to lift up a standard against him? One place alone will keep the heart in passion and the eyes in vision, and that's the place of prayer. This man Elijah, with a volcano for a heart and a thunderstorm for a voice, came to the kingdom for such a time as this. The difficulties to world evangelism are legion, but difficulties give way to determined men. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible, and he can do what no other power can do. The price is high. God does not want partnership with us, but ownership of us. Elijah lived with God. He thought about the nation's sin like God. He grieved over sin like God. He spoke against sin like God. He was all passion in his prayers, passionate in his denunciation of evil in the land. He had no smooth preaching. Passion fired his preaching, and his words were on the hearts of men as molten metal on their flesh. But the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, Psalm 37:23. The Lord said to Elijah, "Hide thyself," and again, "Show thyself." It would be wrong to hide when we should be rebuking kings for his sake. It would be wrong to preach if the Spirit is calling us to wait upon the Lord. We must learn with David, "My soul, wait thou only upon God." Psalm 62:5. Who of us dares to invite the Lord to cut out all our props? God's ways are not our ways. His ways are past finding out. But he reveals them unto us by his Spirit. God ordered Elijah to Cherith, then to Zarephath, to lodge at a swank hotel. No, this prophet of God, this preacher of righteousness, was commanded by the Lord to stay at the home of an impoverished widow. Later, Elijah's prayer at Carmel was a masterpiece of concise praying. "Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, that thou hast turned their hearts back again." 1 Kings 18:37. E. M. Bounds is right in saying that short, powerful, public prayers are the outcome of long, secret intercession. Elijah prayed not for the destruction of the idolatrous priests, nor for thunderbolts from heaven to consume rebellious Israel, but that the glory of God and the power of God might be revealed. We try to help God out of difficulties. Remember how Abraham tried to do this, and to this day, the earth is cursed with his folly because of Ishmael. On the other hand, Elijah made it as difficult as he could for the Lord. He wanted fire, but yet he soaked the sacrifice with water. God loves such holy boldness in our prayers. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Psalm 2, verse 8. O, my ministering brethren, much of our praying is but giving God advice. Our praying is discolored with ambition, either for ourselves or for our denomination. Perish the thought. Our goal must be God alone. It is His honor that is sullied, His blessed Son who is ignored, His laws broken, His name profaned, His book forgotten, His house made a circus of social efforts. Does God ever need more patience with His people than when they are praying? We tell Him what to do and how to do it. We pass judgments and make appreciations in our prayers. In short, we do everything except pray. No Bible school can teach us this art. What Bible college has prayer on its curriculum? The most important thing a man can study is the prayer part of the Bible. But where is this taught? Let us strip off the last bandage and declare that many of our presidents and teachers do not pray. They shed no tears. They know no travail. Can they teach what they do not know? The man who can get believers to praying would, under God, usher in the greatest revival that the world has ever known. There is no fault in God. He is able. God is able to do according to the power that worketh in us. God's problem today is not communism, nor yet Romanism, nor liberalism, nor modernism. God's problem is dead fundamentalism. That was the end of that message. At the beginning of his message, he quotes various people. Let me share with you those quotes from James Gilmore of Mongolia. Do not we rest in our day too much on the arm of flesh? Cannot the same wonders be done now as of old? Do not the eyes of the Lord still run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those who put their trust in him? Oh, that God would give me more practical faith in him. Where is now the Lord God of Elijah? He's waiting for Elijah to call on him. And then from John Climacus, we know the utility of prayer from the efforts of the wicked spirits to distract us during the divine office. And we experience the fruit of prayer in the defeat of our enemies. Brother Sibbes wrote this: when we go to God by prayer, the devil knows we go to fetch strength against him, and therefore he opposeth us all he can. Ezekiel 22:30 says, I sought for a man. James 5:17, Elijah was a man. So if there are men listening to me today, wondering what the call of God is on your life, why not just start with prayer? The call of God that's on every Christian's life, whether he hears it, obeys it or not, it is still the call of God. Thank you for being with me today. We'll keep it a little shorter for a little while. We have the works of several great men of God on this website. I hope you'll go looking for them, their stories, their words. North Korea is in the news today, and it's on this website in great abundance. You can learn about the Quran and Muhammad. You can learn about prophecy in the Bible, that is, those Bible prophecies. I'll take you through the whole Bible in one of my series, and there are commentaries on different books of the Bible and a whole lot more. I hope that you will browse and enjoy and be blessed and be edified. And this is the Hackberry House of Chosun. Lord willing, we will talk again very soon. Bye-bye.